Hello and welcome everybody again to my Tuesday conference call. Ted Keyes, your host here, calling you from sunny Pasadena, California. Again, this is a call that I do every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, a call where I assist you move more freight, move it more efficiently, productively, effectively, so you make more money financially. Got a great guest on the call here today. My guest today is Dottie Turner. Dottie, you preside in Springfield, Missouri. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome, Dottie. Dottie, hey, just give us a little rundown, first of all, of how much experience do you have in this industry?
I've got 15 years.
15 years. Now, did that start all out as in the broker field? Were you a carrier at one point? Did you ever drive truck or anything like that?
No, strictly broker.
And how did that come about, Dottie?
Well, it actually come about by me working for Prime, which everybody is probably familiar with.
Based out of Springfield, Missouri.
That's correct. I worked for them for about 1 year, and to be honest, couldn't stand them and their...
Well, go ahead, Dottie. Go ahead.
You did not
enjoy your time with Prime. Let's put it that way.
No, not at all.
Okay.
And like I said, I basically stuck with them for long enough just to learn the ropes to brokering, and then I just went out and did it myself.
And that's where you started. I mean, you started with Prime. Is it Transportation, Prime Inc.?
Yes, Prime Inc.
Okay, but that's where you started. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
And you say you were with them for a year?
Yes.
Just in that 1 year, again, we're going back 15 years, Dottie, but what would you say you remembered most as far as their training? What did you learn that really stuck out that was able to take you to the next step?
Well, that's almost laughable because
Or did they train you at all?
Oh, they did not.
Did you get any conference calls like we're doing today?
Oh, no. I learned just from the four other employees in that particular group at that time, just listening to them.
Okay.
Because when they hired me, they didn't hire me initially as a broker at all.
Or as an
agent.
It was
just basically to do computer work for them and data entry. And so I just kind of sat in the background and listened and watched others.
Got it. As far as the agent side of it, were they the typical broker where they just eventually gave you a computer, a phone book, and a phone and started calling?
No, not at all.
That's how your typical broker does it nowadays.
No, when I started out doing it, I just got on the computer and went to business websites.
Okay, and just started calling from there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. Is that a tactic that you still use?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I find it actually more beneficial to me than most other tactics. An example would be like if I couldn't reach, quote-unquote, the decision maker, I can reach it through somebody else by going to their website and viewing who is in charge of what, because a lot of the websites will have that information on there. And also a good place to go is Hoover's. Hoover's is a wonderful tool, too, although, you know, there's an expense to that.
How do you spell that?
Huh?
How do you spell
Hoover's?
Is that Uber, U-B-E-R?
No, Hoover's.
Oh, Hoover's.
Mm-hmm.
H-O-O-V-E-R-S.
Uh-huh.
So, Dottie, give us a little rendition of how you'll go about attempting to make initial contact with a prospect.
Initial...
Say via just going off of a website.
I look for titles such as transportation managers, operation managers, even as far as the vice president, president of the companies. you know, because if I and to some will have their email listed in their website. Some of them will. The ones that don't, what I do is I'll look at another email that is on their website, somebody who's email listed, and I just look for a first name, last name, and kind of test it out that way. Where if the email works, it goes through. If it doesn't, you know, you got to change it up just a little bit to make it work.
Interesting. So as I was just talking to another agent earlier, is that how you will begin your initial contact with supposedly the decision maker, or will you just see that it's working and then give them a call?
Both. I'm going to say both.
Okay. And it appears that that method works well for you, Dottie.
Yes, it does.
Any other, you know, like general descriptive method you could give us as far as making contact with a decision maker for the first time?
I basically, like I introduced myself and my company, and everybody probably generally knows that, you know, you're talking to people who probably get hundreds of calls a day, I would say, some of them anyway.
Absolutely.
From people like us. So some may be initially receptive and then some may not be. And those that may not be, don't just give up at that point, you know, because then I have an alternative. If they don't want to talk with me on the phone, then that's I go to an email. And then I send them an email and I put our information in there, as well as, like I said, the main thing that I think is very important is that we're selling them a value. What is our value to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think one of the greatest tools right now as far as LDI is concerned that has out there, and it is LDI Freight and the way it works now. That's a big plus for us, and that could separate us out from a lot of brokers. The main reason being is because now there's a way, you know, that we can actually track the trucks. And that's a huge selling point.
When you started off with Prime, Dottie, did you, I'm assuming you covered some loads with them, correct?
No.
Okay. So you were with them for a year and you didn't cover any loads there?
No, because I was
just
for strictly data entry.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Now, like somebody like Prime, did they have their own freight system? As far as like the load boards go, I mean, did you have to post every load board that they dealt with, or was there a system like LDI Freight where you just posted it once and it went out to all the load boards?
They just used just a couple of particular ones. That's about it. They didn't have what I call like any special outstanding, you know, at that time posting situation. Now, it might be different now, you know, because this was years ago when I worked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dottie, is there a particular industry that you're attracted to or that you deal with?
I love doing refrigerated and frozen.
Refrigerated and frozen.
Yes, I'm very big into that.
What drew you to that industry?
I think it's easy to do, but for another thing, your loads generally pay more.
Okay. Is there a particular lane that you work on, or would you say that your business it extends off of other you know companies that you work with? Referrals from companies that you pick up from or drop off at that aren't necessarily your customers yet?
Oh, I've had referrals, yes.
Okay.
And I don't get real picky about the lanes at all, because that's, I think, one thing that really you shouldn't do. And the reason being is, like, for example, with one of my customers, if you get picky and you don't help them out, say, with a lane that's not popular, well, you know, they're not going to look at you too well, you know, to give you more freight. So mm-hmm. you want to take on lanes that you may not like, mm-hmm. you know, and just do a few here and there to please them and to assure that, you know, they're going to continue to hand your freight out.
Isn't that typically how it works, though, Dottie? When we usually get into a new customer, we've solved a problem of theirs. You know, they had a lane that usually a challenging lane that they were unable to cover, and you showed up at the right time and were able to get a truck for that lane.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
I mean,
yes.
That's how it works with most of the industry. I was just wondering if you had a different system in place or not.
Well, I mean, as you know, what I mean is, you know, my customer can offer freight what they call spotting it out, you know, spot loading it.
Right.
And, you know, and if you do a really good job for them and you're taking, like I said, some difficult freight that they're having a hard time getting others to do, and you're the one that's doing it, they're going to love you for it. And then when you spot rate a load out there, even though your rate may be higher than others, they're going to give that to you because that's how it works for me.
Go on.
Huh?
Oh, I was going to say, go on. Did you have anything to say about that situation, giving them a spot rate?
Like I said, if you're putting out a spot rate out there, you know, and your rate is, you know, higher than most that have already put a spot rate on there as well, because again, you're up against others as well when they're spot rating these loads. Because they put it out there to not just me, but they're going to put it out there to everybody else.
Right. Give our listening audience a definition of a spot rate.
Let's just say a lane, like say from Hamilton, Ohio, going to Bohemia, New York.
Got it.
Well, Bohemia is out on the island.
Absolutely.
And we know a lot of drivers just hate that word, island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do it.
Right.
And
yeah, because it takes effort. It takes a lot of shifting gears.
Yes, it does. A lot of shifting gears. And there's a lot of time spent on that particular run because you're stuck on the bridges over there for hours, stuck in traffic for hours.
Right.
It's easy to get around.
Right.
And, you know, let's just say right now, say an average, I'm going to say an average right now on a reefer load going out to there would be like $3 a mile.
Absolutely.
Well, see, I can quote my customer at $3.50 a mile plus fuel. And I could get that. As a matter of fact, it's one of my dedicated lanes. That's mm-hmm. That's a dedicated lane for me.
Right.
And trust me, others had bid out on that as well, and they had a lot lower rate than I did, but they didn't give it to them.
And why is that, Dottie?
Because I built up a fantastic rapport with not just the transportation manager, but the workers that build the loads as well that
mm-hmm.
you know, are giving you the loads.
Because
mm-hmm. it's not the transportation manager that's going to be throwing those loads out to you. It's going to be the other ones underneath them giving them, transportation planners.
Absolutely.
You know, so I've over the years, I've just built up a very good rapport with them and good customer service. I'm always available for them. I go not just 100% for them, but I go beyond that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
An example, there's times where I have literally been called from my customer 7 o'clock at night, Dottie, can you help me get a truck for this load? I need it delivered such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I do. And again, as we know, there's just a lot of brokers out there. They strictly have, okay, I'm only going to work from 7 to 5, 7 to 4, you know, and they have their little set hours.
Right.
I think it's important that if you really want a good customer base that, you know, you're available for them when they need you.
Does this rapport that you talk about, Dottie, does it happen overnight?
No, this does not. This is something you build upon.
So is a week enough time to build rapport?
With some, it could be. I think it's very important, the initial approach that you use with these customers. How you talk to them is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to them just like I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you or anybody else. I'm not, you know, giving them a spiel, as they say.
You appear like you don't beat around the bush, Dottie.
No, I do not. And they don't like that. They don't like that at all.
you appear like you get out there with the truth and you stick with the truth.
That's it. And let me tell you guys, if there was one thing that I could tell all of you, it's, if you want really, really a good relationship with your customer, don't lie to them about anything. If you are failing on a load, tell them you're failing on a load and why. But don't give them a story that's just not there. Because believe me, they've heard it all.
Absolutely. Wow. Great.
And they will respect you a lot more for telling them the truth than they will for somebody who they obviously will know that it's just not the case.
Are you saying, Dottie, that they hear more untruths than they do truths, and then the truth sticks out when it's actually told?
That's correct.
You are correct. That is a great philosophy to have, Dottie.
It's worked for me, and I'm going to stick to it until I'm retired.
Let's face it, some rapport takes a month to build up. Some rapport takes several months to build up. Some rapport takes a year to build up, Dottie. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yes.
Is there like are you aware of a program or a process where you can break into this profession real easy and start making money and be successful real easy?
A program?
Yeah. Is there some program out there that will get you on the road to success immediately? Or do you have to put your time in, Dottie?
Yes, you have to put your time in. It's you. You will be the one to either make it or break it. And it's all about attitude. Don't go in thinking because you may not have gotten this particular customer that you can't get another one, or you're going through that period of where you're making tons of calls and you're like, oh, geez, I'm not getting anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about trial and error when you're talking to these people anyway. And keep in mind, the more that you talk to customers, the more you're going to learn. And, you know, write it down if you need to, especially if you don't have a good memory.
would you say the more you talk to customers or the more you listen to your customers?
Definitely both ways. It's talk and listen. But I think the most important part is when you're initially dealing with these customers, you're actually listening to their needs. Mm-hmm. And you're writing you're either writing or you're remembering their needs. And then, again, take what they're saying and then you add value to that particular need.
So basically find out what the need or the requirement is and then
Correct.
Fill it.
Absolutely.
Because that's really what we do. We solve problems. We're problem solvers. Would you agree, Dottie?
In a big way.
What's that?
In a very big way.
Absolutely. Okay. Hey, Dottie, are you? Did you have anything else that you wanted to throw out there before we did a little Q&A?
Let me see.
You say you mainly deal in reefer freight, correct?
Yes, I mainly deal in reefer freight, but I have also, you know, I also do van, dry freight. Now, mm-hmm. I have done flatbed, but flatbed's not for me. I don't care for it.
Why is that?
It's more, in my case, I'm saying it's more time consuming to go with what I'm doing, because with flatbed freight, you know, if especially with the, you know, with some customers, depending on who that customer is, you're going to spend a lot of time, you know, making sure your dimensions are correct for loading and mm-hmm. straps and covers and all the extras that go along with moving flatbed freight.
some of them
might need, you know, an extra, you know, certificate to haul a particular piece of freight that you got to make sure they get, you know, but mm-hmm. most of them know already what to do,
right,
you know, but you
right.
will deal with some that doesn't.
It's a whole different category if you're going beyond, like, you know, over width, over height, over weight.
Absolutely.
What would you say are some of the major challenges of reefer freight? Because there's got to be a couple challenges.
Yes.
When you move reefer.
Yep. Over the years, to me, the biggest challenge that I've had is, like, when you haul produce freight. If you're hauling produce freight, that's just something that you got to watch over carefully, because a lot of produce can be rejected, you know, especially, for example, like if you have a bin of watermelon that tips over, well, they're liable to reject the whole load, you know.
Just because one bin fell over.
Yeah, because one bin fell over. You know, I've had that happen.
Yeah.
And then so you're spending, at that time, you're going to start spending a lot of time just on that one load just because that happened.
Has that happened to you, Dottie?
Yes.
Okay.
And of course, and then, also I think another challenge when it comes to, reefer and frozen freight is your ice cream loads. Ice cream loads, as you know, or some of you may not know, those loads have to run from negative 15 to negative 20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the challenge is finding these reefer units that can handle the negative 15 to negative 20, because you still have units out there that can't.
So that's something that you have to qualify when they, I mean, if you post those loads, Dottie, you have to qualify that right away with the carriers that call on your load.
That's correct.
So that really, that's the first question out of your mouth. Can your reefer do minus 20?
Right.
Before you
mm-hmm.
even tell them the load info.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep, and, you know, and keep in mind, you know, now here's what's very important. If you're going to haul ice cream, you need to make sure that they're insured for ice cream.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because a lot of these carriers may have cargo insurance, but they're not insured for ice cream.
So there's a whole special category just for ice cream, Dottie.
That's correct.
Wow. Wow. I was not aware of that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Just a couple other challenges that you have hauling reefer freight, Dottie.
I think really, you know, other than those couple of things I mentioned, I mean, I can't think of, like, off the top of my head other challenges I've had.
Mm.
I can tell you that hauling any freight, it is so important that when you are dispatching your loads, that you are telling these carriers, or drivers, I should say, drivers, that they need to make sure that there is seals on these trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Because a seal can cost you big time. It could cost you a whole load of freight.
Okay. And you said fill, Dottie, F-I-L-L? Or
no,
fuel?
Seal, S-E-A-L.
F-E-A-L.
No, S as in Sam,
Seal. Got it. Seal.
Yeah.
Got it. So the load has to be sealed correctly and properly.
Yes.
Got it.
You know, and these drivers have to make sure that the numbers on those seals match what is written on that BOL. Because, again, this could cost you a whole load of freight.
Got it. Dottie, are you open to a little Q&A?
Sure.
Excellent. Because you sound like you are just a wealth of information, Dottie, and you're more than willing to provide it. Who's got the first question for Dottie? First question for Dottie. Hit star 6. Who's got the first question for Dottie? Hit star 6. Now remember, here I am interviewing an individual with twice as much freight experience that I have. Dottie, you've been doing this again for 15 years?
Yes.
15 years. And do you work on your own? Do you have any assistants or any employees, Dottie?
No, I work on my own.
You do this all on your own. So
yes.
You're the main, when something happens or when a compliment is in order, you're the one that receives it.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. Who's got the first question for Dottie?
I've got a question, Ted.
One more time, guys. Who's got the first one?
This is Dana from Jersey.
Okay. Hey, Dottie, this is Dana. He lives in New Jersey.
Okay.
Hi, Dottie.
Hi, Dana.
Hi. Well, I hear you. I just was listening to you talking. You said that you had to bill a report. Like right now, I'm struggling because I'm getting all my as far as my emails, I'm getting my freight list, and I'm posting all my loads, and I'm on the phone all day long talking to different carriers, but they won't take the load because I take it the price, or like today I had a load that required 60 foot, and they just couldn't do it. So that's my struggles that I'm going through now, and I was just asking for a little advice on how can I overcome it, because it seemed like I've been gone for like 2 weeks like this. And I know it don't happen overnight, but at the same time, it's a little, it takes a little out of you.
Yes, it can.
Dana attempts to cover loads where his customers have a freight list.
Okay.
He works off a customer's freight list.
Okay, and what type of freight is this?
Well, I do anywhere from produce to lumber and stones and roofing asphalts.
Okay. Now, when you post these loads, have you already actually received them, or are you basically you're waiting to shoot out a rate to the customer?
Well, some of them I have to have a rate. I have to shoot out a rate to them, and then some of them they might just give me a flat rate. Or with the produce, they might give me $3 per 100 weights, and then I would just do the math of $3 times 420 or whatever and take the percentages off of it and go from there. But a lot of times it seems like the drivers are just asking for maybe almost double the amount of money that I'm being paid.
And when you are quoting your freight, what are you using to quote your freight?
Well, I'm using Ted's rate calculation.
I have a whole system for doing that, Dottie.
Oh, do you really?
I do.
Oh, I was just curious if you use the one that, you know, the rate mate that's on, you know, LDIs.
Absolutely not. I don't steer anybody in that direction.
Yours must be better, Ted.
It is. It is.
Ted, you better share it my way.
It's a system where you have to talk to the marketplace and not based on calculations or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, and that is a big thing. Your rates are definitely a big thing. Now, I do use a couple of tools, my different tools, to get it. Analyze my rate a little bit better, you know, to get an idea of what the market rate is. Now, naturally, when I quote my freight, I do not simply just quote what the market rate is. I do add on my percentage over that market rate. Now, granted, again, your customers may or may not like that particular rate, but and if you're not getting the rate that you're asking for, then don't do the load. And as far as, like, solving maybe some of the problems when you put that load out there and these carriers are quoting you, like, a ridiculous amount, which I have that happen to me as well. Well, I will just straight up tell them, look, good rate. This is the market rate right now. This is a fair rate. And, you know, you're either going to want it or you're not going to want it. I do not wait for a to call me. If it's not working out, I'm on the phone and I'm calling the other carriers that show and post it and, you know, talking to them.
Hey, Dana?
Yeah?
Are you getting three new contacts every day?
Not like I'm supposed to be, Ted, be honest with you.
You're focused in the wrong area, Dana.
Okay.
Think about it. Think about it. These customers that you have, they're only filling, Dana, but you're putting too much emphasis on them.
Okay.
Think about it. How much business are they generating for you?
Yes.
In 2 weeks, they haven't generated any business for you, Dana. Why do I keep saying three new contacts a day? I say it so you don't fall in the rut that you're in, Dana, and that is relying on moving freight for businesses that freight doesn't pay well or that you're competing with 50 other brokers for. That's
yes.
Why you're always connecting and getting new contacts, three new contacts every single day. Your new customers are indicative of that. You haven't brought in any, correct?
Correct.
Hey, Dottie?
Yes.
Is every customer a good customer?
No.
In fact, in reality, maybe 1 in 10 is really good, aren't they?
That's correct.
Dana, you're dealing with a bunch of customers that they're there. You can cover a load a week, a month, but these are not customers that are going to bring you the high dollar volume that you're searching for. It's just that simple.
No,
You've got to continue to connect and build relations with other customers in the market, Dana. It's that simple.
Yeah, those are what I call customers on the fly. They're just going to only use you in desperation most of the time, and that's not what you want. You want a customer that's going
to
use you every day.
But
do you have to
search for those customers, or do they just fall in your lap?
Oh, no, you got to search for them. They don't fall in your lap. You might look out every once in a blue moon, but not that often. Got to go out and search out these customers. And, you know, do your research on the customer. You can do background checks on these customers just like they can on us.
Okay, I got another question for you, Dottie. When you said the Hoovers, I went to the Hoovers and I was on the chat line with the guy now, and he's trying to sell it to me. Is that what it's supposed to be like?
Yes, that's Hoovers. There is a cost involved, but that is something that you don't even want to consider unless there's going to be several people in the group using it along with you so that they can help involve themselves with the cost of it, because it's not a cheap program. It's a great prospecting program. There's a lot of detail to it.
Have you ever paid for Hoovers, Dottie?
It's not cost-effective.
Have you ever paid for it?
Yes, I have.
And so would you advise him to get it? Now, remember, Dana is a beginner.
No, not as a beginner.
Do you hear that, Dana?
Yes, I do.
So basically, it's beneficial when you have a whole lot more experience in the industry. Is that what you're saying, Dottie?
That's correct.
But not for a beginner?
No.
Beginner, you got to go through the normal the normal hit and miss type until you gain that experience. Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Yes.
Does that make sense, Dana?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Okay. Who's got the next question? I know there's another gentleman that chimed in earlier.
This is Rick in Las Vegas.
Rick, welcome to the call, Rick.
Yeah, my question was, what happens when you lose a reefer load and it's not covered by insurance? Whose responsibility is that?
Well, there's a couple of things that could happen in a situation like that. Like I said, that's why LDI has a setup that they do, you know, to protect us with, you know, the cargo insurance that all these carriers have to have in order to pull the load. But at the same time, it could also backfire. And an example could be, the carrier had insurance, but like say if they didn't like the best example I can use is if they didn't have that ice cream insurance. That then we have to basically rely on that carrier if it was rejected, has a loss, that carrier to pay us for the loss so that we can pay our customer because we're going to have to pay that customer that loss. And you could run into a situation where that carrier, he or she's not going to pay us, and then it's on you. It comes out of your pocket. It's not going to come out of LDI.
Every situation is different, Dottie. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is.
Right.
You know, that's why I you'll learn this through time with your loads, you know, like I said, to look for the certain very, very important things, you know, about these loads. That's what you have to learn. What stands out about that load that you really have to watch for?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, seals on a trailer means a bunch because if they get to that receiver and they don't have a seal on that trailer, that receiver can reject that whole load, then that driver has to take it all the way back to where he picked it up. That cost, again, you might get stuck with it, you know, because the carrier is going to get, I've had a situation where the carrier gets hateful and says, no, you got to pay me to take this back, you know, but in actuality, it was really his fault because he didn't put the seal on it, but because our paperwork, our rate confirmations, do not have that on there contractually, we're on the hook.
But, Dottie, let's face it. This is stuff that you pay attention to and you get better at as you become more proficient
yes.
and you gain more experience.
Yes. And
correct?
Absolutely, and what I've done, you know, to resolve actually, you know, a lot of the issues is if there is any particular requirement on that load, it is listed on that rate confirmation, even if I have to type it in the note.
Absolutely. You type in the load notes or the pickup location.
I type it in both. That
right.
way they can't say they didn't see it.
Absolutely. So these are just precautions that you learn how to take as you've gained more experience.
Yes.
Great, great question, Rick. So really, in reality, it all boils down to the load. It boils down to what's, I mean, as far as a reefer load goes, I mean, the temperature required. I mean, it boils, as far as responsibility, it boils down to all these different factors that you have to take into consideration before you even, you know, get the truck loaded.
And keep in mind, too, earlier, you know, we were talking about how important it is to build up a rapport with your customer, but keep in mind how important it is as well that you build up a rapport with your drivers. Your carriers, because they're just as important as your customer.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that's going to haul your freight. And you will learn to do that over a period of time as well. Because in my case, how well it's worked out with me over the years, building up that rapport with my carrier base, they call me for loads. I don't have to call them.
Isn't that a great feeling, Dottie?
Absolutely.
But Dottie, did that happen overnight?
No.
Did that happen after your first week in the industry?
No.
Did that happen after your first month?
No.
Did that happen after your first 6 months?
With a few, yes.
It takes place over time. That's my
yes,
point.
Yes, it does.
Do you agree?
Yes, and the longer you stick with it, the better you're going to get at it. And you can't be afraid to make a mistake.
Wow, good advice, Dottie. Let me ask you this. As a beginner, is it more important? Now, remember, this is somebody just beginning in the profession. Is it more important to focus on building your customer base or your carrier base?
Both.
Well, you got to choose one.
Well, if you're going to choose
remember, as a beginner, somebody that doesn't know anything about moving freight.
Customer base. Then I would go with customer.
There you go. Much more important to build your customer base. Because really, you could develop all the relationships that you want with carriers, but if you've got no freight for them to move, what good will it do?
That's correct.
Okay. Couple more questions for Dottie. Who's got the next one? It's star 6. Rick, did that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure did. Another question. I even haven't got my contract in. I'll get it to you this week. But
no problem, Rick.
But I used the internet over the weekend and made me prospect lists ahead of time before we get this thing started.
No problem.
And it's amazing the amount of potential prospects that are on the internet. And the internet has a lot of real good information on these prospects. A lot of stuff is the company. Some of them even have a number of employees and all kind of real pertinent information. So I find it is a real good source to get prospects. And then once you get your list of prospects, it's just a matter of getting on that phone and making contact. Now this weekend, I got over 80 prospects.
Rick?
There's really no question.
Okay, so you're just providing us with some info and letting us know.
The fact that she said that she uses the internet for prospects.
Right.
It's an outstanding source for potential prospects.
Right. Okay.
Well, you know, talking about that, when you are talking, a good point for me to make for you guys is when you guys are actually out here prospecting with your customers, your potential customers, and you're talking to the transportation planner, keep in mind, I think that one of the important questions you need to be asking that transportation planner is how much do they spend on freight? Because that will also help you determine whether or not, you know, they may be large
viable
enough for you to solicit
pursuing
in the first place.
So
and, you know, you don't want to waste your time on a company that, say, spends maybe $100,000 a year on transportation.
But for a beginner, remember, for a beginning agent, Dottie, that is $100,000 is actually a good place to start. But yeah, for somebody like yourself that's been at it a while, $100,000, no. you'd want to add a few more zeros onto that for you, right, Dottie?
Yes.
But $100,000 is a good place for a beginner to start, wouldn't you agree?
I would agree to a certain extent because I would want to know, you know, just how, and that's going to be hard to get too, though, in a
right
way, is
yeah
what, who else am I up against? You know, how many other
yeah
people are they currently using? Because
yeah
if it's only going to get me, say, one or two loads a week, that's probably not going to be worth it for me. But
well, again, for a beginner, that's a great way, that's a great place to start.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, one or two loads a week, any beginner would take that. I would highly encourage my beginning agents to take a customer that you can get one or two loads a week from.
Yeah, and you may want to even try more than one type of freight too as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Find out what you're going to like the most.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, I've done all sorts of different freight. I finally just said, hey, I'm just going to dedicate myself to the refrigerated frozen and dry freight, and that's what I dedicate myself to.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question for Dottie?
Hi, Dottie. How are you?
Just fine.
Okay, this is Quintana out of Greensboro, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience with us. But I have a question for you here. I heard you say that you've been doing this for 15 years, but when you're dealing with reefers, you have a lot of drivers and then also carriers, too. They specifically, they just won't deal with it. And I know they say that you have to find your niche, but what is it that brought you to just totally deal with just reefer?
The simple fact that, you know, like I said, I moved flatbed freight, and the downside to flatbed for me was the time it involved on each load that could potentially be there. A lot of the flatbed freight can be simple, you know, but then you're going to be dealing with some that isn't so simple, you know, because you're going to be dealing with dimensions and other extra requirements. Whereas, you know, reefer, it's pretty much cut and dry. You know, you make sure you get you're letting your drivers know, you know, what the temperature is, which of course is one very important part, you know, and you know your weight and stuff like that. But, you know, and like I said, some people though, they love that flatbed freight and that's all they move. You know, we also have somebody in our company that does just ocean. Man, that takes, I don't even think that I would touch ocean freight, but see, you may like that.
You've got to be patient for that, don't
you? You know, so, I mean, you'll find out if you try it. If you know, that's the best way you can learn about the freight anyway, is just hauling it and trying it out.
Okay,
great,
so what you're pretty
great
much
answer,
saying is once you have the experience, it's much easier to make your decision on what route you want to go and what route you do not want to go.
Right.
Yes, that's the whole purpose of trying all sorts of different freight. Believe me, in the beginning, I didn't just, you know, do reefer or anything like that. I was trying it all out.
Okay.
And as a beginner, Dottie, would you agree that that's what you do as a beginner anyway? Because, I mean, what beginner knows specifically who's doing reefer or you know, who's doing flatbed? It's great to get that combination anyway, because it's doing the combination that assists you in, you know, where you really end up going.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes. And also that, keep in mind, too, that combination freight, it could be a great value to you in the sense that, say, during, say, certain seasonal, it depends on your customer, you know, like if they're seasonal, you know, the other freight, you could still be hauling freight for that other customer because, you know, they're not seasonal, so it kind of makes up for a little bit of loss that you may lose during that particular seasonal freight.
In essence, though, Quintana, you have to move all freight to realize or to make the decision, gee, this is what I'm going to move.
Yeah.
You've got to start
right.
Moving it all.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And as a beginner, that's what we do. We move it all.
And when you're talking to your customers and you're talking to them about their freight, remember, there is honestly no stupid question to these customers. And so ask the question. Ask them anything that you could possibly think of to ask about that freight so that you get to know that freight and what's required of it to move it. And that's the best way to learn.
Okay.
Great answer there, Dottie. Did that make sense, Quintana?
Yes, it does.
Okay. A couple more questions
here,
guys, for Dottie. Who's got the next one? Who's got the next one for Dottie? Hit star six. Great information that you're providing with us here, Dottie, today. And you give it with gusto, Dottie. I haven't had to tell you one time to speak up today.
No, that's because I love the business I am in.
Would you consider, Dottie, would you consider doing anything else?
No. No, and I think that is also another good point to make. You guys need to be happy doing this business. It's going to come with its ups and its downs, but you have got to really like what you're doing to make it work very well for yourself. And
great point there.
So if you start doing it and you don't like it, then just simply don't do it, because then you're spinning the wheels of the customer and you're spinning your wheels.
Did I hear a question that was about to come in there?
No, Ted. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, somebody else have a question?
Ted, this is Rick again.
Rick.
Yeah, Dottie. When you got new prospects, how often do you make phone contact with these new prospects?
If it's just a new one that I'm starting out with, I usually once a week.
Once a week?
Yep, if it's a new one.
Okay. That's my recommendation as well, once a week.
And on top of that, now, let's just say you've already got your customer and you're going with them. Hey, don't be afraid to talk to them every day.
Okay.
Because that's how you're going to get to know them in the first place, talking to them every day.
Was that your question, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Next question for Dottie.
Hi, Dottie. This is Prima. How are you?
Just fine.
Okay. I have a few prospects that have used the line of, I'm not going to give you any loads, but if you have a truck in the area, give me a call. Is there some way to break through with them that you've run across that, or any pointers you have?
Well, my response to that would be, in talking to somebody like that, which I've heard that line before, well, you know, I just straight up and tell them, well, I don't want to be just this one-time use for you. I want to be your partner. I want to work with you, and I want to be a steady, reliable carrier for you. Because that's what we are, too. We're a carrier. If we're finding the trucks, we're a carrier.
Okay.
Hey, Prima.
Yes.
Just the constant asking of that question, what's moving today?
Yes.
What's moving today? Just showing them that you're not a quitter, that you're going to keep pushing and letting them know that that you're not going to be the average agent. And, you know, part of it could be testing you as well. I mean, if they're saying that to you, they're saying it to other people as well.
Right.
Yes, that's
part
true.
Part of why they say it is because they're comfortable. They haven't had a challenge pop up yet. Would you agree, Dottie?
Yes.
But when that challenge does pop up, you want them to think of you when it does, because if the challenge has popped up and their regular carriers haven't solved it, gee, you know, this Prima keeps calling me. You know what? Let me see what she will do. Let me see if she'll back up her words. You want to be the first in line, because that's, as you know, that's how we get into a customer. We solve a major challenge they're having.
Yep, and believe me, that works out very well for brownie points.
Yes. Thank you.
I didn't mean to answer your question there, Dottie.
Oh, no problem.
I felt compelled to chime in there. Who's got the next question for Dottie? Hit *6. Excellent questions, wouldn't you agree, Dottie?
Yes, they have been.
Okay. One last question for Dottie. Who's got the last question for Dottie? Who's going to ask it today on
this
Tuesday?
This is Robin out of Virginia.
Okay. Robin, welcome.
I have a question. Welcome. I have a question for Dottie. She's very upbeat, you know, and you know, she say, for instance, 7 o'clock at night, she's ready to take that call, and I'm only imagining she's answering a call up deep. Do you have those days where you're down and out? Do you not do any calls, or do you just have to pretty much put on that day to make sure that, you know, you're the same? Like the customer always get Dottie.
Dottie, do you always sound like this?
Yes, I do. I really, really do. And I do get tons of compliments in regards to that. That's what I'm telling you about your the business that you're in. As for that matter, it works for any business. It's your attitude. If you keep a good attitude daily, no matter what you're going through, I promise it works out. You might go through some tough periods or a tough moment, but it always works out. And you'd be surprised about how well it works having that attitude, especially when you're dispatching drivers or you're dealing with a problem with that driver, how it breaks the ice immediately.
I have a saying in my Freight Sales Success Guide, your attitude is everything. Your attitude is everything. If you go into a call with a ho-hum attitude, you're going to get a ho-hum response. Wouldn't you agree?
That is correct.
You're going to get what you put out there. So how, you know, if you go into a call sounding like Dottie, how could anybody turn you away? I mean, I definitely have learned a lot just interviewing you today here, Dottie.
Yeah, well,
your attitude is everything.
It is. It really is. Because trust me, when I deal with especially my favorite customer, you know, it's to the point, you know, I've had the transportation manager call me, Joe, and I'll just tell you by his name is Joe. And he will call and he'll be upset at me at first, you know, over a particular situation. But with my attitude and my voice, the way you amp out your voice and everything with him, it immediately, like I said, it just breaks that ice that was around him when he's talking to him, to me. And then we get into a really good, what I call a good conversation that could be handled very easily, actually.
Got it. And these people are expecting that attitude when they make contact with you, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Robin, great question. I mean, it's just that's something you have to work on internally.
Yes, it is.
That's something you work on internally. Did you hear that, Robin?
Yes, got it.
Okay. Hey, Dottie, pleasure having you today. Just bear with me as I make a few announcements here. Again, thank you so much for joining us today, Dottie. You've been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure interviewing you, asking questions. Thank you for being so open in your responses. Obviously, if you've been doing this for 15 years, there's a reason why you're successful. But one reason is because you've stuck it out, Dottie. Would you agree?
Yes.
Have you had any challenges in the 15 years that you've been in this profession?
Oh, I think a challenge comes up every week.
Again,
it's all based on attitude about how you go about those challenges and everything. Mm-hmm. Plus, the whole idea of it anyway is, trust me, you're going to learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, Dottie, thank you so much. Quick announcements before I depart here. Again, anybody on this call, whether you're an active agent with us or not, any questions for me personally or business-minded, I shouldn't say personally, but business-minded as far as becoming a top flight freight agent, or certainly building on what you have with our office already. Again, you'll call our office. As for me, Ted Keyes at 626-309-9141. Any questions involving our top-of-the-line LDI freight system? Dottie, would you admit that we do operate with a top-notch freight system?
Yes, we do.
One of the best out there, wouldn't it?
Out of all the great systems that I have worked with, and keep in mind, over 15 years, I've worked with several. This has been the best so far.
So for those of you that are just joining us, you're already working with the best LDI freight system out there. However, if you have any questions on it, call the office. You'll speak to my wife, Maria, at same number, 626-309-9141. Dottie, God bless you. I wish you the best of everything in the future. I am so grateful that you came on the call today. It has been a pleasure having you.
Well, it has been a pleasure with you guys as well. And also, if any of you need any help at any time or have any questions, feel free to give me a call as well.
Dottie, what is your number?
I'll be glad to help out as much as I can.
What is your number, Dottie? Thank you for offering that. What is your number?
My number is 417-887-4681.
One more time.
417-887-4681.
Boy, Dottie, I really appreciate you giving out your number. Again, don't be abusive when you call Dottie. Be generous of her time. She is obviously, you've got the right attitude, Dottie.
Well, thank you.
All right. Take care. God bless you all. Dottie, we'll see you down the line.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, folks.